to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities.
And bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Kia ora, greetings to you all. Jambo sana. Good evening. This is Dalu Actual, and you have tuned in to Resettled Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. This is 1 hour show, and I will be your host for this 1 hour. We are live from Auckland, New Zealand, at this time of the hour every week, every Saturday. And thank you for tuning in to our online followers. Thank you for tuning in. And for those who are listening live, thank you for coming. And I will be playing you music. This is music all the way from Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. And I will play you different music from different countries, a different mix. So I don't know what it means in that lyrics, but you know, music is all about the soul. Once it hits you in the heart, that's what it is. You don't need a translator. So, and also, we will talk about a few things. First, let me say that there will be, if you are listening and you are from the resettled community, there will be a community clinic to be hosted by ARCC and the officials of Immigration New Zealand. So they will be coming on Wednesday on the 6th of November. Next month is not far away, just around the corner. And the venue will be identified next week. And if you are a fan of our Facebook, so all the details will be there. We will have a flyer by next week, possible by Tuesday or Wednesday, and everything will be there. And all the details containing that event will be laid out there. But I will briefly tell you what it is. The immigration officials are coming to consult with the community about the new changes, immigration changes. There were some changes made lately by the Minister of Immigration and the government of New Zealand about some of the things that have not been right in the resettlement process of bringing in people who are coming here to resettle from refugee background. So it's a refugee resettlement strategy. And now they are coming to tell the community what is in the package, what has changed, what has not changed, and what you can do if you are trying to bring a relative, especially immediate family member. Could be a mother, could be a father, could be uncle, could be your brother, your siblings, your sisters, and everybody in the family. So there are some guidelines, and these officials of immigration will walk you through. And you might have some questions answered. We have some people who have sponsored their loved ones in the past, either through Tier 1 or Tier 2. These are two totally different categories of the reunification program. So Tier 1 is one that's always there, but is only entitled to those who do not have anyone in New Zealand. And Tier 2 are those people who want to be reunited with their loved ones in a different category. But the difference between Tier 1 and Tier 2 is that Tier 1 is always open, and Tier 2, it opens once every 5 years. So now whether there are new changes within Tier 2 or Tier 1, we don't know. So that's why they are coming to tell the community what has changed, what has not changed, and what you can do. This is very important. And if you come from a refugee background, please spread the word to the community. It is 26th, it is on Wednesday, the 6th, November 2019. It's not very far away. And you can get hold of us through our phone number, 846-0110, 846-0110 with a code number of Auckland 09. And we are open from Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And you can get all of us through every way you can. You know, you can message us through our Facebook, and you can come to our office. We are not very far. We are within the city center. We are in Central Auckland in Mount Albert. It's building 2869 New North Road, Mount Albert. 869 New North Road, Mount Albert, build 2 in the back. Yeah, with that being said, I think it's good to know what will be coming, what is expected, and I believe some communities will be coming to hear out what are the new changes from Immigration New Zealand. These are the managers of the resettlement branch, of refugee resettlement branch. So they come once a year and talk to the community. This is one of the good things ARCC and Immigration New Zealand have agreed upon, that there should be a clinic twice a year. One was conducted in April, and this one will be conducted in November on the 6th. And because the information that should have been given out is not enough for one session, and that's why it's broken up into two, one in April and another one in November. So what was given out in April might not be the same as what is to be given out in next month in November on the 6th. Why? Because some of the information have come from through the changes that have been made in the Ministry of Immigration, and it's very important that we hear from the officials themselves what are these changes, because we always rely online, and not everyone is capable of getting information online. We don't most of us, most of the community from refugee background are not used to getting information online. So we rely on face-to-face and word-of-mouth information sort of a thing. So this is what is happening, and I'm glad that the officials from immigration will be making it on Wednesday on the 6th of November 2019 and get all the sort of information we might need or the community might need. I sponsored somebody in my family, and it's not coming very quickly. So it has been 3 years ago, and now I want to know what is holding. You know, the same thing might be a question. So I'm sponsoring my child, and someone might be sponsoring a husband or a wife, and these are immediate family members. And you know, it's about making sure that you are following the right procedure or you are not missing anything. And it's very important that we come together and listen to what the officials will be telling the community. And spread the word, please. And I will be back, and I will play you some music one more time, and I will be back. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
Chat to me, yeah. Jack to me, girl. Yeah. With time, make a carry you. Champagne and I was the Malibu. Hey. And the dinner, I did just for two. Me dog, when I would dominate the best. Yeah. My own. That time, I did chase and then no money. My own. See my heart back, push it up, I did grind for my king. My own. Like the air, I did feel up for everywhere I did.
Jambo, welcome back, and this is Galwaxul, and you are tuning in to Russell Radio, brought to you live by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6, and I will be your host for this 1 hour show, and we start at 4:45 and we'll end up at 5:55 every day, every Saturday, and yeah, we just talk about the information about the immigration, that immigration officials are coming to see the community on Wednesday, the 6th of November. And this is a very crucial information. If you know anyone from Rasera community, please pass it on. And this is a very crucial information to be shared among the communities, because these people are coming to tell the community what are the changes that have been made. And some changes were made by the Minister of Immigration and about the family reunification and other changes within the immigration. So no one really knows what has changed somewhere in the media out there, but not everyone has gotten access to it. But it's good to hear from those who made the changes, and it's very important that the communities should come and listen to them. And if you have some questions to ask, or if you sponsor someone who has not been finished off from the time we started, maybe 2-3 years ago, this is the right time where you will get the answers you need. And and talking about the immigration now, what are some of the things that would happen if you come to a new country? You know, I talk about it in this very show last time. I don't know how long ago. It was about 2 to 3 months ago. And what are the expectations when people come here? And what happens, you know, when you come here? People are excited about it. Are they happy that they are here? Are they taken on by other unseen issues? Yes, definitely. Because as a refugee, when you leave as a refugee overseas and come to a new country where you will have a home, things are not quite in the way you want it to be, because this is a new home, a new area, new environment, new culture. Everything is unique. Everything is new. The way people talk, the way people do certain things, and it's completely new. Even those who speak English also need to adapt to the Kiwi English and Kiwi communication, and everything looks new. And I remember when we talked about this overseas in one of the refugee camps where I was, and there was this session held for those who are coming to New Zealand, and they were told about the banking system, the housing, the benefits and everything, and the employment. So people were not keen to hear anything else apart from the employment, because they think if they come here, they will be independent, they will help out their family members back home. One member who got a sick auntie said, you know, when I get there to New Zealand, your problems will not be there anymore, so I will take care of your hospitalization and all the bills, and I will take you to a better hospital. Not knowing that coming here will take a while to get a job, so the person has been here for like 2 to 3 years without a job, and it was crazy for him and for his dying auntie. And this is only a story from one person, but you know, there are other stories that that would be similar to that. But it's a long journey. It's a long journey. We have a very welcoming community here in New Zealand. The Kiwis are very welcoming. But you are coming to an environment where you are trying to be free for the first time, because you have never been free. You ran away from home because your life was under threat. In many ways, it could be You raise your voice where you are not allowed to speak up, or it could be anything else. It could be you are hunted because of your relative, because they're, you get punished because of somebody's wrongdoing, and which is not the same here. So, these are some of the stories that, you know, make up the refugee journey. And I will be happy to play one of the stories we have here. One of the former refugee who came from Eritrea, and she came here as a child. Let me not spoil it by telling you all the details. You will hear that. This story is read out by Jackie Shaft, and yeah, let's hear that. Let's hear that for a moment, and then we will come back and talk about some of the things that are there. Yeah, stay tuned.
End of 2003. First, we went to Mangere, and from there we moved to Henderson and lived there for.
Then we start again.
I was born in Eritrea. My family moved to a camp in Ethiopia and stayed there for nearly 2 years. I came to New Zealand together with my family at a young age at the end of 2003. First, we went to Mangere, and from there we moved to Henderson and lived there for almost 5 years. I was 10 at the time. I went to Ranui Primary School for 2 years. I needed a special status in primary school. In New Zealand primary school, you should leave primary when you are between 11 to 12 years old, but because I didn't speak English and I didn't know how to read and write, my teacher advised that I should stay for one more year to improve my English. My teacher helped me with all the foundations that I needed to enter intermediate. I stayed only 1 year behind because I was getting older, and people in New Zealand ask, "How old are you?" And when you tell them, they start teasing you. I wrote a letter to the principal explaining my situation and why I wanted to move to year 8. She approved my request. In 2008, I finished Henderson Intermediate and moved to Waitakere College, where I studied there until year 10. I was very interested in studying, so I used to work hard and try to improve my English. I didn't go to school back home. I started learning the basics here, from ABC to science and maths. By the time I went to high school, I still had difficulties in English, but I knew the basics of math. I used to read the children's books just to improve my English. ESOL classes also helped. I had that one-to-one help. That was really good because they helped students with writing, spelling, verbs, nouns, pronouns, and other parts of speech. Those are the basics of the English language that one needs to learn. It was hard for me, as I didn't know the English language and didn't learn it from a young age. My English improved through school. I received second place for the top class, top scholar award in 10th grade. I got almost 5 awards within a 2-year period. I was also given a special book only awarded to hard-working students. I was very happy for my achievements in school. In year 11, I moved to a different school, and that year was difficult for me. I had a lot of family problems. In the middle of such problems, I still had an interest for studying, but because there was a lot going on with my life, I struggled with classes. I still got prizes for schoolwork, but it was a very challenging time for me. When we first came from Māngere, we got our own home and started going to primary school. It was different for us because all the students remained seated when the teacher entered the classroom. My culture had made me believe that students here needed disciplinary action because they acted differently from the way I was raised to think a student should behave in a classroom. We asked ourselves, what are they doing? In our country, students sit at the table, and when the teacher comes into the classroom, they stand up as a sign of respect. It's different in New Zealand. Students were all white people. We thought we looked different. I remember this girl. She was so beautiful, sitting next to me, playing with her braided hair. I couldn't stop looking at her, wondering why she was playing with her braids. Some people have someone who inspires them. I have one too. My primary school teacher has inspired me in many ways. I will never forget her. She knew that I had English language deficiencies, so every time we were on break, she would tell her daughter and her friends to teach me things that I needed to know. She wanted me to achieve more, so she gave me all the help that I needed. She believed that I was a very bright student, and if I stayed back a year, I could improve and would be more confident and be able to achieve whatever I wanted. She trusted me, and I trusted her. After high school, I went to the Auckland University of Technology. I enjoyed studying health sciences there. I learned so many new things. I got to experience life as an adult and learn to deal with things on my own. My first preference was to get into medicine, but having English as second language is a struggle. I didn't get all the scores required, so I didn't get into medical school. I applied at Auckland University of Technology and I went for the health science pathway. I chose health promotion psychology papers in my first year. When I compared the papers, I liked the psychology part better because health promotion is more about promoting awareness, whereas psychology is studying the human behaviour in depth and how to implement interventions. I liked it because it connects me more with people. Also, it is similar to being a doctor if I continue and do my master's. Perhaps I may still get into medicine someday. I would like to work with youth. That's my wish. Some youth leave school at 16, so I need to promote the importance of education to them and its benefits in the long run. I want to work with youth or as a career advisor at a university because many students don't know what their options for courses will look like or what the requirements are when one is pursuing a course. One wrong step may ruin the whole process. I consider myself a lucky person to be in this country. There are so many beautiful things I like about it. First of all, New Zealand is peaceful and safe. It also provides more opportunities for immigrants. When I say more opportunities, I mean that I get a lot of support from different government sectors, education, healthcare, and housing. One gets student allowances and student loans to study at any university within New Zealand. The country has lots of opportunities for people who have the drive to go out there and do something with their lives. As a new immigrant in New Zealand, there are some things I dislike, though. It is a small place, but the culture is different. Back home, your neighbours are like family. They say hello to you and you say hello to them every day, and they come to your house and you go to their house while sharing a lot of things. But here, you don't care who your next-door neighbour is. Everyone is on his or her own way, sometimes without any greetings. That is the only thing I don't like about New Zealand. People need community. You need people's support. I know there is support. For example, if you go to church, that is where you can meet people and there are youth programs, but I do not think that is enough. You need a lot of support in your society from neighbours and friends. For people who have no family here, they have a very challenging and difficult time. There is this issue of speaking English. If you cannot speak the language, they will make you study English to make it better. But some people don't want to study because they never studied back home. To tell them to go and study English, their mind might not be in that position. They came here to live in a safe country first, and they want to find work. And I know it is beneficial to learn English, but also to find a part-time job. I know some immigrants from refugee backgrounds who go to school but want to depend on social welfare assistance, and that is not a good idea. It's fine to get government support, but it's important to try to find part-time work to support yourself while studying, because welfare assistance will not solve all your financial needs. Some people end up on social welfare financial support because they cannot find any jobs. They are made to depend on government support because they don't have a job. I think that is why people don't want to stay in New Zealand nowadays. There is racism, and a lot of people move to Australia to work there. There are more job opportunities in Australia than in New Zealand. Here, you find companies demanding experience for the simplest jobs that don't require any experience. My question is, how is a person entering the job force expected to have work experience? I say, give someone the work so they can show you their skills. According to the things I have experienced in New Zealand, I have advice for new settlers from refugee backgrounds. If you have children as young as 11 through 16, try to have an honest discussion with them about the importance of school. Students of these ages don't always take school seriously, but parents can give their moral support. They should use every opportunity that is given to them wisely. Such age groups don't easily listen, but try your best. It's not always easy to settle in a new country, but you can be fine if you are prepared for it. Let your children use the opportunity to study. The thing is that you get more opportunities and benefits after achieving a good quality education. Suppose you come from a poor country in which all you knew was war, hunger, diseases and other disasters, and you come here to abuse freedom and opportunities provided to you. Are you doing something for yourself? That would be a waste of resources to bring you here. Ask yourself questions like, why did you come here? What can you do for yourself? What do you want to achieve? There are many reasons for different immigrants to come to New Zealand. Refugees come to New Zealand to be safe and live a happy life. New Zealand is a safe and peaceful country. Like I said earlier, some immigrants come here for different reasons. Whatever the reason is that brought you here, you should manage your time and use it wisely. Yes, you can still socialise, but you need to make time for upgrading your life. Have time periods for each activity you do. I really don't like it when people waste the time that should be spent on useful things. For the older people, don't just sit home doing nothing and complaining. Give your free time to communities by volunteering. Helping communities through volunteering doesn't require English language as a prerequisite, so get involved in volunteering programs. All you need is to find the right connections. Build on your previous experience and skills and knowledge to find whatever you want in your life. Everyone has something to offer. In New Zealand, you need to be brave to tackle lots of obstacles, challenges and difficulties to reach where you want to be. Whenever you complain about not having something in your life, there is a place and a time for that. Think, if I do this right now, what will be the consequences? All the people that I have met have different life experiences, different ways of living. They have suffered a lot in their lives, but in the end, they got to where they wanted. Don't think too much about people who are bothersome to you. They are a distraction. Just mind your own business and move on. Remember that patience, resilience, and perseverance do matter. My coming to New Zealand is a great success. From a young age back home, I used to live on a farm. It was a hard life. The purpose of moving to New Zealand is to live a peaceful life and get a quality education. There were a few times where life was tough for me, and I was tempted to quit school to find a job, earn money, and move back home, because in my own interpretation, back home you have your own culture, your own people, and everyone would be around me. But the question is, would I be safe if I returned to my country of origin? I dropped the idea. When I was a little girl, I used to tell my dad that I don't want to live in the countryside. I always wanted to go to the city, get an education and become a doctor. I wanted to have an educated husband, and I wanted to have a nice house. That is the only dream I had, and I was given the opportunity to come here and get all that. Here in New Zealand, I am educated, I have the dream husband I wanted, and I am currently working towards getting my dream home. Mission accomplished.
Come on, Ali.
Welcome to Rosario Radio, brought to you live by ARCC. Welcome back. This is Galo Axel. I'm your host for 1 hour show. We are almost finishing. And before I play to you some a bit of a story from a refugee background, a new Kiwi, and she talks about the journey here when you come to a new country and the things she experienced. Remember she said she came as at the age of 9 or 8, something like that, and she had really hard start in the school, and people, students bullied her. Hani would report that she asked for transfer, she asked for taken to the next grade because she felt she was so old in that class because they were not her age group, and a lot of things. So basically, like what we say before about the new arrivals, so it's so hard to fit in here. It takes a while, and also it needs the help of everyone around you. It can be a teacher, it can be somebody you work with, it can be your neighbor, it can be your friend, it can be encounter. That's a lot of things to take in at one time. And she said something nice. She said she's coming here to have opportunity in life, and this is what we believe in. For those of us who are coming from somewhere, we believe that there's a second opportunity, a second chance in life. You lost that first one, and you believe there would be a second chance in life where you would come and build your life. And people who came to New Zealand as immigrants, as an immigrant, migration has so many categories under it. So everyone fits under immigration, but there are so many categories. There are people who have chosen to come to New Zealand to resettle here, to rebuild their life here, or to raise the family here. And there are people who got no choice, but they were told to come here, like those who are refugees in their own refugee hosting countries, and they got the opportunity for resettlement. Some went to the United States, some went to Canada, some went to Australia, some went to Germany, some went to all over Europe, Norway, Denmark, Finland, Poland, all those countries, France. And it was not their wish, but they need to settle and rebuild their life. It's not their wish in the sense that they did not choose that country. If they were given a choice, they have so many choices to make. So some might come to New Zealand, some might not want New Zealand, might go to Australia, or some might not even want Australia. Those who come to Australia might go to Canada. And just like that, it's a different way of expressing opinions. But once you come here, you get a lot of challenges of employment. She talked about it. How can you get the experience when you just arrive? And people will be asking you, or the employees will be asking you, what sort of experience do you have in terms of the employment? And you got none. Not only experience of the employment, also you don't have the qualification that is required in this country to do the job. You come overseas with a different sort of education, and then here it is a whole different story. All those things together combined, so it's a big thing. And some come here with a little language and some none, and how you can develop your English language skills, it takes a while. And she's so encouraging that, it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. It's a matter of starting afresh. Have this attitude that I need to learn, open to learning. And that's what got her there. She said she's a successful woman now. And because she had this urge of knowing things very quickly, want to learn things. So I think there's a good head up there. Thanks to those Kiwis who are open to to the new arrivals, you know, helping them like this girl. She has been helped by children, you know, children and who are keen to support her. And she got to where she is now, not by herself, but because of that help she got from anyone around her. And that's all we need as human beings. We need to support one another, help one another, and get to where we need to be. Because you never know, tomorrow it might be your turn, you know. You might need help, and we will be helping you. The same people whom you helped yesterday might be the same people who will be helping you tomorrow. There's a proverb in Chinese: if you go up the tree, don't do bad things to those who are taking you up the tree, because they are the same people you find when you come down. Whether it relates to this story or not, but we need one another. And we need a teamwork. We have a very good country here, which we call home for those of us who came to New Zealand as a new Kiwis. And this is our home. We will rebuild it. We will make it a wonderful country. We contribute to it in any way we can, and we belong here. We are not visitors. We are not going away. We are Kiwis. We are new Kiwis, and we're glad to be here. And we are talking about now being learning new language. So I have this video which I like very much. I watch it several times, and the video is about how to learn any language in 6 months. You know, there are a lot of advertisements, you know, online and other websites, but this particular thing, you know, I watched it several times and I really like it because it's giving you some tips how to learn a language quickly. I speak 4 languages or 5, and I want to learn more, but it's like I'm not moving anywhere. So this is a very inspirational. I think I will play it and see how this guy will be telling us those principles, those tips. His name is Chris Lonsdale. Chris Lonsdale, I don't know whether it's a Q or Canadian or who, I don't know, but it's a video of 18 minutes. We might finish it, we might not finish it, but let's give it a try and see if we can get out of, if we can get anything out of it, because it's all about learning a new language in a fast way. So let's see and let's play, and we will see where we will stop because it's almost about time. Yeah, let's play.
Maybe even part of who you are as a person. Well, I've had a question. People at the back, can you hear me clearly? Okay, good. Have you ever held a question in mind for so long that it becomes part of how you think? Maybe even part of who you are as a person? Well, I've had a question in my mind for many, many years, and that is, how can you speed up learning? Now, this is an interesting question, because if you speed up learning, you can spend less time at school. And if you learn really fast, you probably wouldn't have to go to school at all. Now, when I was young, yeah, school was sort of okay, but I found quite often that school got in the way of learning. So I had this question in mind: how do you learn faster? And this began when I was very, very young. When I was 11 years old, I wrote a letter to researchers in the Soviet Union asking about hypnopedia. This is sleep learning, where you get a tape recorder, you put it beside your bed, and it turns on in the middle of the night when you're sleeping, and you're supposed to be learning from this. Good idea. Unfortunately, it doesn't work. But hypnopedia did open the doors to research in other areas, and we've had incredible discoveries about learning that began with that first question. I went on from there to become passionate about psychology, and I have been involved in psychology in many different ways for the rest of my life up until this point. In 1981, I took myself to China, and I decided that I was going to be native level in Chinese inside 2 years. Now, you need to understand that in 1981, Everybody thought Chinese was really, really difficult and that a Westerner could study for 10 years or more and never really get very good at it. And I also went in with a different idea, which was taking all of the conclusions from psychological research up to that point and applying them to the learning process. What was really cool was that in 6 months I was fluent in Mandarin Chinese, and it took a little bit longer to get up to native. But I looked around and I saw all of these people from different countries struggling terribly with Chinese. I saw Chinese people struggling terribly to learn English and other languages. And so my question got refined down to, how can you help a normal adult learn a new language quickly, easily, and effectively? Now, this is a really, really important question in today's world. We have massive challenges with environment. We have massive challenges with social dislocation, with wars, all sorts of things going on. And if we can't communicate, we're really going to have difficulty solving these problems. So we need to be able to speak each other's languages. This is really, really important. The question is, how do you do that? Well, it's actually really easy. You look around for people who can already do it. You look for situations where it's already working. And then you identify the principles and apply them. It's called modeling. And I've been looking at language learning and modeling language learning for about 15 to 20 years now. And my conclusion, my observation from this is that any adult can learn a second language to fluency inside 6 months. Now, when I say this, most people think I'm crazy. This is not possible. So let me remind everybody of the history of human progress. It's all about expanding our limits. In 1950, everybody believed that running 1 mile in 4 minutes was impossible. And then Roger Bannister did it in 1956, and from there it's got shorter and shorter. 100 years ago, everybody believed that heavy stuff doesn't fly, except it does, and we all know this. How does heavy stuff fly? We reorganize the material using principles that we have learned from observing nature, birds in this case. And today, we've gone even further. So you can fly a car. You can buy one of these for a couple of $100,000. We now have cars in the world that fly. And there's a different way to fly, which we learn from squirrels. So all you need to do is copy what a flying squirrel does, build a suit called a wingsuit, and off you go. You can fly like a squirrel. Now, most people, a lot of people, I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people think they can't draw. However, there are some key principles, 5 principles, that you can apply to learning to draw, and you can actually learn to draw in 5 days. So if you draw like this, you learn these principles for 5 days and apply them, and after 5 days, you can draw something like this. Now, I know this is true because that was my first drawing, and after 5 days of applying these principles, that was what I was able to do. And I looked at this, and I went, wow. So that's how I look like when I'm concentrating so intensely that my brain is exploding. So, anybody can learn to draw in 5 days. And in the same way, with the same logic, anybody can learn a second language in 6 months. How? There are 5 principles and 7 actions. There may be a few more, but these are absolutely core. And before I get into those, I just want to talk about 2 myths. I want to dispel 2 myths. The first is that you need talent. Let me tell you about Zoe. Zoe came from Australia, went to Holland, was trying to learn Dutch, struggling extremely, a great deal. And finally, you know, people were saying, you're completely useless. You're not talented. Give up. You're a waste of time. And she was very, very depressed. And then she came across these 5 principles. She moved to Brazil and she applied them. And in 6 months, she was fluent in Portuguese. So talent doesn't matter. People also think that immersion in a new country is the way to learn a language. But look around Hong Kong. Look at all the Westerners who've been here for 10 years who don't speak a word of Chinese. Look at all the Chinese living in America, Britain, Australia, Canada, who've been there 10, 20 years, and they don't speak any English. Immersion per se does not work. Why? Because a drowning man cannot learn to swim. When you don't speak a language, you're like a baby, and if you drop yourself into a context which is all adults talking about stuff over your head, you won't learn. So, What are the five principles that you need to pay attention to? First, there are four words. Attention, meaning, relevance, and memory. And these interconnect in very, very important ways, especially when you're talking about learning. Come with me on a journey through a forest. You go on a walk through a forest and you see something like this. Little marks on a tree. Maybe you pay attention, maybe you don't. You go another 50 meters and you see this. You should be paying attention. Another 50 meters, if you haven't been paying attention, you see this. And at this point, you're paying attention. And you've just learned that this is important, it's relevant, because it means this, and anything that is related, any information related to your survival, is stuff that you're going to pay attention to, and therefore you're going to remember it. If it's related to your own personal goals, then you're going to pay attention to it. It's relevant, you're going to remember it. So the first rule, first principle for learning a language is focus on language content that is relevant to you, which brings us to tools. We master tools by using tools, and we learn tools the fastest when they're relevant to us. So let me share a story. A keyboard is a tool. Typing Chinese a certain way, there are methods for this, that's a tool. I had a colleague many years ago who went to night school Tuesday night, Thursday night, 2 hours each time, practicing at home. She spent 9 months, and she did not learn to type Chinese. And one night we had a crisis. We had 48 hours to deliver a training manual in Chinese. And she got the job. And I can guarantee you, in 48 hours, she learned to type Chinese because it was relevant, it was meaningful, it was important. She was using a tool to create value. So the second principle for learning a language is to use your language as a tool to communicate right from day one, as a kid does. When I first arrived in China, I didn't speak a word of Chinese. And on my second week, I got to take a train ride overnight. I spent 8 hours sitting in the dining car talking to one of the guards on the train. He took an interest in me for some reason. And we just chatted all night in Chinese. And he was drawing pictures and making movements with his hands and facial expressions. And piece by piece by piece, I understood more and more. But what was really cool was 2 weeks later, when people were talking Chinese around me, I was understanding some of this. And I hadn't even made any effort to learn that. What had happened, I'd absorbed it that night on the train, which brings us to the third principle. When you first understand the message, then you will acquire the language unconsciously. And this is really, really well documented now. It's something called comprehensible input. There's 20 or 30 years of research on this. Stephen Krashen, a leader in the field, has published all sorts of these different studies. And this is just from one of them. The purple bars show the scores on different tests for language. The green and the purple people were people who had learned by grammar and formal study. The green ones are the ones who learned by comprehensible input. So comprehension works. Comprehension is key. And language learning is not about accumulating lots of knowledge. In many, many ways, it's about physiological training. A woman I know from Taiwan did great in English at school. She got A grades all the way through, went through college, A grades, went to the US and found she couldn't understand what people were saying. And people started asking her, "Are you deaf?" And she was English deaf. Because we have filters in our brain that filter in the sounds that we are familiar with, and they filter out the sounds of languages that we're not. And if you can't hear it, you won't understand it. If you can't understand it, you're not going to learn it. So you actually have to be able to hear these sounds. And there are ways to do that, but it's physiological training. Speaking takes muscle. You've got 43 muscles in your face. You have to coordinate those in a way that you make sounds that other people will understand. If you've ever done a new sport for a couple of days and you know how your body feels, hurts. If your face is hurting, you're doing it right. And the final principle is